Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord, for your people that are here today. I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that's in this place to open our eyes and our ears, the eyes and ears of our heart, Lord, that we might see and understand spiritual truth, Lord, that our carnal minds cannot receive. And Father, I just pray that each one will receive what you have for them today, that you would speak into each and every heart. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Salvation for all. We want to communicate the message of God's grace to the world around us. And this is Grace Church. It is a place where people come to receive of God's grace, of His forgiveness, His love, His mercy, His power to work in their lives. It's not a place where you come to be criticized or judged, but to find love and acceptance. We believe God's grace is for everybody. We believe that we have been saved by grace through faith, and all we have done in order to receive that salvation by grace is believe. That's all we've done. All of us come to Him with shortcomings and weaknesses, with all of our mistakes and failures, our past sins and our habits, our addictions, character flaws, all of it. We come to Him with all of that, and by His grace, He saves us as we put our faith and trust in Him. We come to Him by grace, or we don't come at all. There is no other way. And He accepts us, He loves us, He forgives us, He sets us free and makes us whole. I want to remind you this morning that every human being will spend eternity somewhere. Everybody is going to exist for eternity somewhere. And the Bible makes it very clear that all of us in Adam's race are born sinners. Now, we all manage to sin all on our own, don't we? But you need to understand that in Adam's race, we were born sinners. We were born that way. All right? Well, just let that soak in for a minute. We were born sinners. I know when one of those little innocent babies comes, we think, oh no, not my little precious. Oh yeah, we were all in Adam's race born sinners. All of us need the grace of God. What is it that qualifies us to go to heaven? Now, you know, a lot of people think that it is by their own goodness or merit. In fact, if you ask people, just ask people on the street, and, you know, even Christian people, even those who are believers, on what basis will you get into heaven? Most of them will start telling you about the good things that they've done, or they'll try to explain to you that they've done more good than bad. And they'll say things like, well, I'm a pretty good person. But none of that qualifies us for heaven. The only way that we can get into heaven is by the grace of God. Now, one Sunday school teacher was asking her class of kindergartners, she said, now if I sell my house and my car and all of my possessions and I give the money to the church, will I get to go to heaven? And the whole class said, no. She said, all right, if I clean the church and mow the churchyard and work for the Lord real hard, will I get to go to heaven? Will that get me into heaven? All the class said, no. She said, well, what? How do I get into heaven then? One little boy in the back of the classroom said, you got to be dead. out of the mouths of babes, right? But let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you do for the Lord. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It won't get you into heaven. I know that's politically correct. It's not new to our age, all right? It has been the deception of the ages. All the major religions are based on that. That if you're a good person, then you're going to have a good afterlife. But let me tell you, the truth is that it's only by the grace of God that we can be saved. It's only by His undeserved favor in our life. And I'm telling you, there are many people in our generation. Again, it's politically correct. They've been deceived into believing that it doesn't matter what religion you are as long as you're sincere. In fact, I have heard big name evangelical preachers who in their desire to be politically correct have said that people of all faiths will be in heaven because of their sincerity. And I'm telling you that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said that nobody comes to the Father except by Him. There is no other name whereby men must be saved than the name of Jesus. It is only by His shed blood and the grace of God that has been provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be qualified to go to heaven. It is only as we receive the free gift of salvation and the free gift of righteousness that He gives to us because He bore our sin. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Now I just want to define a few words here because I realize that, you know, it's easy for us when we've been in church for a long time, we kind of understand the language here, but for people that haven't been in church a long time, I remember when I was 11, 12 years old, and I would hear a preacher talking about being saved. I didn't know what they were talking about. The only thing I could relate that to was somebody drowning in the water and somebody had to save them. Well, that's not too far from incorrect. Spiritually, that's what's happening to us. But you know, we need to understand really what that word save means. Salvation is for all. I'm telling you this morning, that's the message. Salvation for all. But what does it mean to be saved? That Greek word in the original language, saved, it means to be made whole. It means to be set free, to be delivered, to be healed, and to be made whole inside and out. And that salvation for us, now we understand that it's talking about that we also then, because we are saved, because we're made whole, then we know that that means that we get to go to heaven. But I want you to understand it's more than just a ticket to heaven. By grace, we have been saved. We've been set free and healed and made whole. And how did it happen? By the grace of God. What is that grace? The definition for the word grace is just simply undeserved, unearned favor and blessing. Now, there's a lot of things that go with that and it implies a lot more, but just simply put, it is unearned, undeserved favor and blessing. So it is by God's unearned favor on our life that we're saved, that we're made whole, that we're forgiven and set free. It is God working in our behalf because of His goodness, not because of ours. Ephesians 2, 7, if you back up a verse, it says that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Listen, in the coming ages, we're going to see the incomparable riches of His grace. You see, there's a lot more than just getting to heaven. There are incomparable riches of grace that we're going to see in the coming ages. Here's a simple definition. I don't know where this originally came from, but I use it because it's pretty accurate. It is an acronym for the word grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And whether you have never been saved or you've been saved a long time, I want you to understand this morning that God's grace brings into your life so many blessings. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. There are a lot of believers that believe for forgiveness of sin in order to get to heaven, but then don't believe that God's grace will bring them anything else. But I tell you, blessing after blessing belong to us because of God's riches. Well, it's John 1:16. By His grace, we all have received blessing after blessing. All right, everybody, I want to encourage you right now to bring your Bibles. I'm not looking to see who's naughty and nice. I'm not checking. We're not going to penalize you. We're not going to reward you. I'm not going to give anybody candy if you bring your Bible. But I'm just telling you, I want you to understand why it matters. If I read it to you and the preacher up here is telling you something, that's one thing. And you can even see it up on the screen. Thank you, Heather. She does a great job. But when you see it in black and white in your own Bible and you read it with your own eyes, you know, there's just a surety and a certainty that this is the Word of God. And we need that. I'm telling you, that the day and the time that we need, where there's so much confusion and ambiguity and deception in our world about spiritual things, you need to see in your own Bible what the Word of God says, because then you know. It's not just that preacher talking. It's what the Bible says. So John 1:16. One more time. It's by His grace we all have received blessing after blessing. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And we need to know this morning. All need grace. Here's the key word this morning. All. All. All need God's grace. There are no exceptions. There is nobody that qualifies for heaven or God's blessings without grace. We all desperately need the grace of God. You can't earn it. There's no way that you can deserve it. And I want you to hear me this morning. God doesn't love you or save you because you're good or because you've what you've done or because of what you haven't done. No, it is by His grace. Romans 3:23 and 24 says, for all, y'all just say it with me, will you? All. One more time. All. Amen. We're going to get it this morning. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by His grace. That word justified means that you are acquitted. You have been justified. It is just as if I'd never sinned. You are acquitted from all wrongdoing. How can that be? By the grace of God, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That word redemption speaks of a price being paid. You see, He paid the price for your redemption so that you could be justified. He already took care of it. But verse 23 again, all have sinned. You see, we are all saved by grace, and we are given the free gift of righteousness. We are made right with God by His grace. You know, part of the problem that we have with grace in our human nature is just simply pride. Pride has a really hard time receiving and accepting grace and understanding grace. And you know, you don't have to completely understand it all. You don't have to understand all about how electricity works to be able to turn the light switch on, do you? And I'm telling you, you may not understand the depths of the grace of God, but you can tap into it and receive it by faith that it's for you. But one of the things that will keep you from receiving of the grace of God is pride. It will stop. Listen, the Bible says, the Lord says very plainly in James 4, 6, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So you can't be proud and arrogant and receive of the grace of God. He gives grace to the humble. You know, that grace just violates that good old American pride. It goes like this. Now, I know who I'm talking to this morning. You bunch of Americans. I worked hard for what I got. I earned it. And it makes us mad if somebody else gets for free what I worked hard for and earned. But you see, when it comes to the things of God, you can't earn it. You can't deserve it. And it violates that sense of pride, because somehow in our pride, we want to work for it, we want to earn it, we want to deserve it. And I'm telling you this morning that that pride will keep you from the blessings of God. It'll keep you from the grace of God through which the blessings of God come into your life. Listen, the worst kind of pride is spiritual pride. You see, by the grace of God, it doesn't leave any room for boasting. There's no room for pride. Our strengths, our abilities, our goodness, our works just don't get it. It won't get it done. It has to be by the grace of God. See, the only thing that separates us from the lowest sinner is God's grace. If you have a hard time with that, I'm telling you, you think too much of yourself. And when the pride goes out, if you get rid of the pride, then the grace comes in. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's when we humble ourselves and we get rid of that old pride that we can really fully receive of the grace of God and all that he has for us. And I'll tell you, when the pride goes out, a lot of the old judgmental religious attitudes go out as well. Jesus told this story in Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 10, about two men that went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, in our day and time, tax collectors are not too high on the totem pole. You know what I mean? But they were even lower then. I mean, they were considered to be the scum of the earth. So here you have a man who's a pillar of the community. I mean, he's a big shot at church. He's very religious, upstanding man. And here you have somebody that's considered to be the worst person, the worst kind of person in that society. Two men that go to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector, that I fast twice in the week and I give a tenth of all I get." And certainly none of us want to identify with a Pharisee. We all know better than that. And yet, whether we pray the words or it's just in the attitude of our heart, I think sometimes we can fall into that trap where there's such pride there that we say, "Well, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like those people." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And here's the amazing thing. Jesus says that that man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You see, we all need God's grace. It doesn't matter if we think ourselves to be good and righteous and, you know, if we appear in the community to be an upstanding citizen or if we are the scum of the earth. We all need God's grace. It equalizes all of us because all of us come to Him on the basis of grace. You know, when it comes to religion, There are always people who try to make everybody come through their knot hole. It's, you know, it's my way or no way. You know, if you don't agree with me, then you're just wrong. My way is the right way. But I want to tell you, there is one way that we all have to come. Jesus said, I am the door. And His door, His way, is the way of grace. And there really is no other way. It is by grace that we come to Him, or we don't come at all, because He says our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. And all that faith is simply accepting what He did. Now, you know, some people almost get the attitude of pride about the fact that they've accepted Jesus. Listen, if somebody hands you a gift, you don't have anything to brag about when you accept it. You just received it. And that's all that we have done is by faith, because we believe that this gift is given to us. We accept it. And we receive of the grace of God. There is nothing for us to boast about. That's what the Bible says, that no one can boast. It's not of ourselves. It's of His grace. It's by grace that we are reconciled to God, that we've been made right with God. And because we've been made right with God, oh, what blessings are opened up to us. I want to tell you, God wants all to come to a place where we trust in His grace rather than in our own goodness. That we all come to Him for salvation on the basis of grace. You know, most of us understand that to a degree, at least in our heads. But we just have to know there's not one thing you can do to earn or deserve your salvation. It is a totally free gift. It has nothing to do with works. I think a lot of believers have a hard time with this. You get saved by grace through faith. We know that we can't earn it. But then after that, the attitude of many believers is, well, then after that, you're on your own. Now you got to earn the rest of it. Listen, every day, we're living by grace. Every day, we're saved by grace. We stay saved by grace. And we're living under the blessings of God's grace day after day. It's a free gift. We just receive it. And I know that's hard, you know, for people to understand, especially in the day, the hour that we live in, when people talk about a free gift, usually there's a catch. We want to send you a free gift. You're going to need your credit card number when you call in to receive. There's some kind of commitment. There's something involved with a free gift. But let me tell you, this free gift really is free. All you have to do is believe and receive it. Amen. Our salvation is a free gift. As I said earlier, grace is the equalizer of all men. All have fallen short of the glory of God. It is by grace that we all come to Him. There is none of us that can say, oh, I don't have to come that way. No, that's how all of us come to God. Romans 3:23. For all, there's that word, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no exception. All right. In the Greek, the word all means all right? We just have to get it. It's too simple. There's no exceptions. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all sinned. There it is again. We all need God's grace. And here's the wonderful thing. Grace is for all. John 3:15-16 says that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you realize there's no exceptions here? There's no people groups left out. There's no certain types of sinners or bad people that are excluded. But he says, everyone who believes. It's for everybody. For everyone who believes. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. For if by the trespass of the one man, speaking of Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, you see, we all need it, so also the result of one act of righteousness, Jesus' death on the cross for us, was justification that brings life for all men. Who did bring life for? All men. There's not any exceptions. Jesus Christ's death on the cross brought life for all men. All they have to do is receive it by faith. Just believe that he died for their sins. For just as through the disobedience of the one man many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. By his death on the cross, he took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's for everybody. Salvation for all. A lot of people today seem to think that grace is for them and their family and some others, but not for them. No, it's for all. We need to know that. We need to know that it's for everybody. John 1:16-17. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That grace came to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? We need to take this message to the world. That everybody needs grace, but here's the good news. Grace is for everybody. It's for all. This salvation that God has for us, it's for all. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. Christ's love compels us. You see, we should be compelled to be going out into the world and telling them about this grace that's for everybody. Because we are convinced that one died for all. Who did he die for? All. Not any exceptions. I'm telling you, this will mess you up. You just start looking at your enemies. You start looking at that hateful person, that really bad, sorry person, and realize in your mind that Jesus Christ died for them also. That every person that you encounter is someone who Christ died for. He died for all. It's for all. And therefore, all died. Now, there's a spiritual truth that many people have a hard time grasping, but in Christ Jesus on that cross, we all, that old man in us, died on the cross with him spiritually. Verse 15, and after he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. The one that died for us all, we live for him. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Now, man looks on the outward appearance and God looks on the heart. But the Apostle Paul tells us here, we shouldn't look at people and judge them by the outside or by their background or their past or what country they're from or what color they are. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Listen, we shouldn't regard people whether or not they agree with us politically. What, are you Republican or Democrat? What's that got to do with being saved? I got some news for you. When we get over there, there's going to be Catholics there and Methodists there and Baptists there and Presbyterians there. There's going to be black people and yellow people and white people. There's going to be people with pink hair and green hair and purple hair. I saw them last night at the fall celebration. I'm telling you, there's going to be all kinds of people that are there because they believe that God's grace brings them salvation. Not because they've earned it or deserved it, not because they're from some particular background or they're with this group or that group. No, it's all about Jesus. And we need to stop regarding people after the flesh, looking at people from a worldly point of view. I'm telling you, it hinders the gospel and the grace of God. We need to be like the Apostle Paul and say, we are compelled by the love of God to take this message and to share it with other people because He died for all. We no longer regard anyone from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, it's in Christ Jesus that God is restoring His relationship with people. It is in Christ Jesus that fellowship with God is restored. God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. That's amazing. God knows every evil thing that we do. He sees, He hears, He even knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Before a word is on our tongue, He knows it. And yet, the Bible says very plainly, He is not counting men's sins against them. Why? Because of the grace of God that was purchased for us by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is coming a day of wrath and judgment upon all who have rejected God's Son, whether Jew or Gentile. They will stand before God and answer for what they've done with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But listen, this is the message we need to be telling the world. God loves you. He forgives you. He's not mad at you. He's not counting your sins against you. The door is open wide for you to come in and have fellowship with God. And I'm telling you, that's not the message that the world is hearing from the church. No, instead it's, well, if you would do this and don't do that anymore, and if you go to church and if you'd be more like me, well, then maybe you could have a relationship like with God like I do. We need to back up. Our relationship with God is not based on our merit and our works and what we do and don't do. Our relationship with God is based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that He purchased it for us, and it is by grace that we're saved through faith. And church, that's our message to the world. He's not counting their sins against them. You know, that's one of those verses that just seems too good to be true. That's one of those verses that unless you see it in the Bible for yourself, you just say, oh, that crazy preacher, he don't know what he's talking about. God's not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We therefore are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making His appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God, that free gift of righteousness because of what Jesus did. Through Jesus Christ, God's salvation is available to all. Good people, honest people, sincere people, it's available. Rotten people, sorry people, dishonest people, immoral people, it's available. God's grace. Weak people, strong people, people of all shapes, sizes, and colors, God's grace is available to all. It's for the ones who've done wrong. Well, that gets us all, doesn't it? It's for the sinner and the saint. It's for the one that's lost their way. It's for the hurting. It's for those that are bound. It's for those that are searching. It's for everybody. It's for all. All need His grace. His grace is for all, and all we do is receive it by faith. In fact, if you don't believe it, you can't receive it. If you try any other way, you can't receive it. You can only receive it by faith. You just believe what His Word says. You believe what He has done, and you receive. Ephesians 2:8 said, "It is by grace you've been saved through faith." Another reason we have a hard time with grace is because of our sense of justice. We all have it, some stronger than others, but we all have this sense of justice inside. And I want to tell you this morning that God is a just judge, that He is absolutely holy. He cannot tolerate sin, and the price and the penalty of sin must be paid. But I also want to tell you the good news. It's already been paid. The price for every sin that you have ever committed, every sin that you will ever commit, has been paid for by the spotless, sinless Lamb of God on the cross. When that righteous one suffered and died in our place, He paid the price for every person for all time. Listen to me. Don't devalue the blood of Jesus by acting like that His blood was not enough to cover your sin. Don't devalue the blood of Jesus by acting like that some person is too bad for Jesus to save them. His grace is enough to save the very worst of sinners. Well, the Apostle Paul claimed that one, didn't he? He said, "I'm the chief of sinners." Whoever you think might be the very worst, you need to realize that God's grace is enough to save them. That the blood of Jesus is valuable enough to pay the price for their sin. I just want you to understand, you know, people have a hard time with that sense of justice. Listen, the price was paid through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of believers, they have that older brother syndrome. I'm talking about the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. We always talk about the prodigal son, how that he left the father's house and he went out and he wasted all of his inheritance in wild and sinful living. And then when he comes home, the father receives him back as a son and puts his best robe on it, his ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and he says, "Kill the fatted calf." And they have a big celebration. And the older brother gets very angry. He doesn't think it's fair. It's not just. He tells the father, he says, "This son of yours," he goes out and wastes his wealth and wastes it all in sinful living, and then comes home and you have a big party and celebration for him. And here I am, I've been doing right. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christians that struggle with that same attitude. And because of it, they don't extend the grace of God to others. They say, "Well, I've been doing right and I'm serving the Lord and I deserve." No, you don't. We don't deserve anything. We are eternally in His debt. No matter what we do, we will forever be indebted to Him. We don't deserve His blessings. It is by His grace. And because of that, we can never afford to not extend that same grace to the worst of sinners. It's for everyone. And all we do is receive it by faith. Sometimes we have a hard time with grace just because it sounds too good to be true. That all we have to do is receive God's salvation in our lives and believe it, and it's as simple as that. It's done. And I just want to clarify to you once more that there will always be insincere people who will pervert and twist the grace of God. The book of Jude even speaks of it plainly and says that ungodly men will change the grace of our God into a license for immorality. There are always going to be people who pervert and twist the Bible and will find a way to sin. But I tell you, for those who are sincere and love God, we know that that grace is not a license to sin. No, if we have truly been saved by grace, why would we want to sin? No, we want to live for God. We want to live for the one who died for us. But in this world, a lot of times, you know, it seems like, well, that grace, that's just too good to be true. But it is true. It's like the little boy who went to children's church, and after it was over, his mama asked him, you know, parents always ask that question, what did you learn, right? What did you learn in children's church today? And the little boy said, well, we learned about how the Israelites escaped from Egypt. Mom said, oh, really? What? Tell me about it. The little boy said, well, first they snuck out during the night. And when they got to the Red Sea, the Egyptian army was coming after them. And so the Israeli Corps of Engineers built a pontoon bridge across the Red Sea. And as they ran across the bridge and they escaped away, then the Israeli Air Force came and blew up the bridge with the Egyptian army on it. And they all died in the sea. And the mother thought, oh my. What is that crazy children's pastor down there teaching my child? And so she said, now are you telling me the truth? Is that what they taught you in children's church today? The little boy said, Mom, if I told you what they said, you would never believe it. You know, we have just that much trouble sometimes really taking God at His word. I'm telling you, grace is true. It really is true. You can't earn His favor and blessing. He's already made the way. I tell you, it will change your life. I'm talking to believers primarily this morning. I'm telling you, we need a greater understanding. We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That His grace, because of His grace, oh, what riches, what blessings are available to us in Christ. But it is for us all. And let me tell you, one of the things that will really hinder you in receiving of God's grace is in your attitude towards others. The same grace that you extend to others, that is the evidence, the proof of how much you yourself have truly received from grace. And so as we speak to other people and deal with other people, oh, we need to extend to them the same grace of God that we've received from. It's for everybody. And as I said earlier, a lot of the time, whether intentionally or unintentionally, the message that the world is hearing from the church is you need to stop doing this and start doing that, and you know, maybe then you can become a Christian. No, they just need to come to Jesus. See, you don't clean fish before you catch them. They just need to come to Jesus. And Jesus is the only one that can clean them up. You can't clean them up. I'm telling you, they need to come to Jesus and receive forgiveness and the cleansing by His precious blood. That's what's required, is faith in Him, to trust Him. It is that grace that transforms our lives and sanctifies us. Your relationship with God needs to always be based on what Jesus did. You just accept it and believe it. That's how you receive it. The last thing I want to share with you about grace this morning is that God gets all the glory. It said, no man can boast. No one can boast. You see, God's grace takes all room for boasting. We can't talk about how good we are and how we deserve this and what we've done. I did this and I did that. No, it is all about what God did. And He gets all the glory.